I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Why are you you? Do you even know who you are? By now, we should all understand how we biologically were created. You know, when a daddy and a mommy love each other very much, and they hug real close, and then 9 months later, you come out of mommy's tummy. Or, at least that's what I've been told. But is that the only way that we are created? The idea of how humans evolve and learn is quite debatable. Is it through nature that we have a set idea of life, and our genetics help us sail through the waves of that life, learning to navigate every single day? Or are we a product of how we were nurtured, where and how we grew up? Does the environment we walk through always change who we are? So that's the questions today. Strap in, kiddos. I'm Lee White, and this is the Happy Social Experiment.
It's starting. Okay, deep breath. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Happy. Feeling or showing pleasure or contentment. Social. An informal social gathering. Especially one organized by the members of a particular club or group. Needing companionship and therefore best suited to living in communities. Experiment. A scientific procedure undertaken to make a discovery, test a hypothesis, or demonstrate a known fact. This is the Happy Social Experiment.
Nature refers to all the genes and hereditary factors that influence who we are, from our physical appearance to our personality characteristics. Nurture refers to all the environmental variables that impact who we are, including our early childhood experiences, upbringing, social relationships, and the surrounding culture. Which one has contributed to making you who you are? In 1690, John Locke wrote an essay concerning human understanding. Within the essay, Locke specifically criticizes the claim of an innate idea of God that is universal to humanity. Now, Locke's view was harshly criticized in his own time. Anthony Ashley Cooper, the third Earl of Shaftesbury, complained that by denying the possibility of any innate ideas, Locke threw all order and virtue out of the world. Now, by the 19th century, the predominant perspective was contrary to Locke's, tending to focus more on instinct. Some have argued that humans have more instincts than animals and that greater freedom of action results from having more psychological instincts, not fewer. The question of innate ideas or instincts was necessary for discussing free will and moral philosophy. In the 20th century, this argument was inverted, since some philosophers argue that evolution of human behavior traits forces us to concede that there is no foundation for ethics. In contrast, others created ethics as a field of valid statements in complete isolation from evolutionary considerations. Is mental illness due to genes or the environment? Now, both genes and environmental factors can contribute to a person developing a mental illness. Research finds that a significant part of the variation in the risk for psychiatric conditions, such as autism, anxiety disorders, depression, and schizophrenia, can be attributed to the genetic differences. But not all of that risk is genetic in life experiences. Abuse or neglect may also affect the risk of mental illness based on one's genetics. They might be more affected by environmental effects than others. Like other psychological characteristics, personality is part heritable. Research suggests less than half the difference between people on personality traits can be attributed to genes. Non-genetic factors appear to be responsible for an equal or more significant portion of personality differences between individuals. Some theorize that the social roles people adopt and invest in are among the more critical non-genetic factors in personality development. The socially determined actions of an individual can be influenced by forces that control the flow of ideas. By creating an ideology within the society of the individual, the individual's actions and reactions to stimuli are predetermined to adhere to the social rules imposed on him or her. Ideologies can be created using social institutions, such as schools, which have become the terrain upon which contending forces express their social and political interests. Mass media has significant power in shaping the social agenda and framing public opinion to support that plan. We have all seen this, especially within the past 8 years. Now, by creating a social construction of reality, these forces directly create control over the future of individuals who feel like the social construct is natural and unchangeable. Their actions become based on the context of their society. Their society has successfully determined their actions. Social determinism can favor a political party's agenda by setting social rules so that the individual considers the party's plan to be morally correct. Let's take the George Floyd protest of 2020, for example. Some media, with agendas of their own, publicized the riots as violent and dangerous. What the protests were about was lost because the focus is on the violence. The individual's views on the subject are then directly influenced by the media. Their reactions are predetermined by that social form of control. We have been taught to think that censorship is the main mechanism of how the media uses information as a form of social control. But in fact, what is said and how it is presented is far more potent form of information control. So after doing this research, I sat down with a few of my friends and I said, hey, what influences you guys? And this is what they had to say.
Sitting around a table, getting people to expose themselves for snacks and laughs.
Alrighty, guys. On this lovely interview with this group of friends, and I'm proud to call them friends. I really am. I mean, they're all beautiful people. Some of them I like more than the other. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, today's topic is, why are you the way you are?
Government experiment.
Yeah.
Some people would say.
I don't know.
Have you ever really sat down to try and figure out why you are who you are?
Like this...
Oh, I have a therapist for that.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately.
They don't know yet because I don't let them in on everything. I'm just now getting to the point where I tell them what's going on.
And so what's going on? Why are you the witch?
You don't have
Why
to
am I the witch? Okay. All right. Short and simple. You want the short and simple?
Yeah.
I was raised by two inattentive parents. One because they were selfish, the other because they had ADD. Therefore, that's why I am the way I am.
Okay. Well, what about you, you two over on the right hand of me? Left hand of me?
Man. I mean, so, like, we were talking the other day, and you were like, man, sometimes I hear the stories about when you were a kid, and then I look at your life now, and it just doesn't make sense. And yeah, that's kind of the story of my life every day. But part of it was like, I guess if, you know, in my sitting down to think about it, like I am equally both of my parents. And I think there was, like, on my mother's part in particular, like a determination to, like, let's do better, not just like emotionally or like relationship wise, but even like, come on guys, we don't have to be the family that has the fight in the funeral home parking lot. We can do better.
We can do better, totally.
We could do it inside the part. The
like,
you
know, come on. We've evolved.
Hey, can I also add to what I said earlier though? Because I feel like the first two reasons are maybe more past, and the more present reason why I am the way I am is because I refuse to let my past determine who I want to be. That's why I'm the way I am, period. So let that be known going forward. Because yeah, that's the, like, you know what I mean? That's where I'm at with that. And I'm talking to my therapist about it.
You should talk to me more. I'll save you money.
I know. Well, you know, I don't want to get on your nerves.
I know. I thought you were doing cocaine the other day.
You know, I wish I was. wish I was.
Yeah. And by the way, don't do cocaine. Drugs are bad. Okay.
Yeah, just sell it. Don't do it.
If you're going to do anything, sell it. And don't be one of those drug users or one of those drug dealers that samples.
Yeah.
That's how you go wrong.
Yeah.
Anytime anybody asks you on cocaine, I'm like, have you seen me?
If there's anything that Miami Vice has taught me, is do not sample the product.
I watched a fun interview with Don Johnson on Seth Meyers. And he was talking about Miami Vice. And it was fun.
Thank you for that. Thank you. That was
You said Miami Vice. And I need you guys to watch it. Because it was fun and enjoyable. And he apparently had a great time making Miami Vice.
I just want to say, Ellie, that I fucking love every word that comes out of your mouth.
Yay!
Everything you say. But it's like cracks me up, and I can't even. I'm just like, I don't even know where it comes. Like, you just spit gold like every moment of your existence.
I keep telling Joel that I'm hilarious, and he hasn't caught on yet.
Dude, same. Ian doesn't think I'm funny. I'm like, dude, I'm so funny.
Brilliant.
So funny.
He's just like, you're okay.
You're just missing it. You're missing out. You know, you're missing out.
I don't understand.
Somebody asked me if I wanted to take the Johnson & Johnson COVID. I said I didn't care if it was a Don Johnson shot. I'd take it too, you know.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. I'd roll up my sport coat sleeves and I'd get that thing.
Oh my God.
So, anybody else have anything of why they are who they are?
It's complicated.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, it's nature and nurture, and a willingness to accept all of that and push through all the bad stuff, which there isn't a lot. I mean, you've met my family.
They're quite a phenomenal family. Not a single funeral home fight.
Not a one. Although,
how have you managed?
I was born into it. I didn't do anything.
That's incredible. That must be why I can't even.
Yeah. Yes. I'm talking. Knowing what my limitations are and where push forward, and a lot of times I decide, you know, I'm not any good at that. I'm not going to do that, which has happened to my last two jobs that I've had. I realize I'm not very good at working at a machine shop, so I left that job. I am good at playing guitar, but right now I can't do that for a living or be a guitar tech for a living. But as far as being who I am, I've never done any drugs ever. So everything I've experienced in life.
You've done codeine.
Yeah, codeine one time. That was
I can't feel my fingers.
They gave me that for dental work. I don't think that
When I had my tonsils taken out, they gave that to me.
I'm in the process of dental work.
Oh, bro, I feel you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, four front, brand new front teeth. Right. Lee can tell you. I mean, you know, being in a band for all those years, just knowing me for a year. I mean, like, I think that I've evolved quite a bit.
Yes, you have.
Since you,
when I first met you, you were like a fish just crawling out of the water, and now you're somewhat of a primate.
Now I gotta go to work.
you're at least carrying the, you know, the spear or whatever. I still haven't seen you in the suit, but I've seen you at least out of the mud.
As I'm getting older, I'm more and more like my dad, but we have like very few things in common as far as just the things that we're interested in. But the things that we do are identical, from the just on the border of hoarding collecting of things, and the amount of energy and passion that we put into whatever, like whether he's, you know, doing archery or bow hunting, or I'm, you know, collecting musical instruments or Superman toys.
Yeah,
it's the same. It's so weird and starting five. So like, I never knew my. This is why a lot of it's probably genetics, because I never knew my dad as a person. He was my dad. So as we sort of get old, I get older and I start to realize like I have his sense of humor. I can see it when he occasionally interacts with other people. It's like, that's where I get that. That's where I get that. That's where I get that. That's why, you know, why I'm bad at money. You know, all that stuff that's, you know, genetics versus the things that are taught to me, like how to behave socially and things. Those, you know, learn through interacting with other people and how to survive and how my insecurities versus my, the things that I'm confident at interact with one another.
Yeah, I totally understand that, Bernie. Yeah. That makes total sense.
And then, you know, trying to hide that clinical depression from everyone else for years because people think that, you know, if you talk about it, you're going to be, you know, like, yeah, that guy right there. Yeah, like,
who here has depression?
Well, even normal people have it.
Oh, hello.
No. Who here takes medication?
I work out.
Yeah. Look at that body.
Yeah, you work out. Yeah.
I buy clothes.
Yeah, I used to work out and look at myself in the mirror and cry myself to sleep. It didn't help my depression at all.
I just plank. Not the workout kind, but you know, the kind from the early 2000s where you just lay face down on stuff.
Yeah, parkour, you know? Yeah.
No, that's not parkour.
Parkour. Wait, it is if you say parkour while you're doing it.
Yeah.
It is, exactly.
Yeah.
Parkour. Yeah. Say parkour.
I plank every night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a total planker.
I think it makes sense. Those like nature versus nurture, what you're talking about, though, because I think there are some things that you don't realize about yourself until you get to a certain age, maybe, and that maybe that has something to do with physiological development of your brain. And yeah, sure it is.
I have a chart.
I'm sure it is. I know after 25, things start really getting real.
Your neural synapses are formed.
Yeah, and then you can't fucking recreate things. You can't, okay. They're like, yeah, there's a whole thing to the old dog new tricks thing. I think.
Painful process. It
yeah.
You know, you ever watch people like, that's why when they like to get kids like at 18 to join the military, they're still developing the frontal cortex,
lobes.
Those synapses are, and they can train them to work under pressure, basically
very moldable at that point.
You know, because you are who you are after that point. If you continue to make mistakes, the same mistakes after 25, you're going to continue to make those mistakes, whether it be in relationships.
That's where I think it's not entirely impossible to change, though, because I'm 32, and I am at the point now where I'm still, like, there's stuff that I was doing that, like I said, I'm going to therapy for. I think if you have a will to change, or you have like a self-awareness about what's going on, and you want, like you have a desire to make something different, I think that regardless of your age, I still think it's possible. It might be harder as you get older, but I still think it's possible. Physiologically speaking, yes, it might be harder because your neurons don't work the same, and they take longer to heal or to change, you know. But I think if you really want it, you can do it.
It's all about practice, you know. What is the rule
exercise
of
it's like muscles, you know, like if you have a muscle, no matter what age you are, your muscle is going to remain in the way it is unless you do something to change it.
Here's a thing,
and
here's a
that requires practice and repetition. So yeah,
every email I type every day opens
yes
hello, and I kid you not, every single time I type hello, I'm a grown adult, I know how to spell it, I put a W at the end.
Why not?
Hello.
And I'm like, why
are you all made up anyway?
Yeah,
why isn't it on there? My brain really wants it to be on there, but I've because it annoys me so much that I do it every time. I'm like, all right, Allie, here comes a new email. Here we go. Now take your time. Don't put it on there. And so, yeah, then, you know, sometimes, but you got to practice.
Yeah, but like length of time doesn't change people. It is desire and choice.
This episode is brought to you by Mystic Bourbon. If it's not Mystic Bourbon, it's probably something else. It's box wine.
It's
probably
a box.
Ooh.
It's from a real bottle that was on the bottom shelf at the grocery store.
Oh, you bottom shelf.
Yeah. It's what I could reach.
Look, crushed grapes is crushed grapes.
Listen, I like this rooster wine.
Hey, that stuff's pretty good. T-Rex, you know?
Exactly. See? It's delicious.
Rex Goliath.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really terrible B-movie name.
Rex Goliath.
Watch out,
wine.
It's the Rex Goliath!
One bottle will last long.
Rex Goliath. It takes a licking and keeps on drinking. Well, one thing that I have figured out, obviously you guys know of my mother's passing, and I have learned a lot about myself and a lot about my family because I found a lot of my mother's journals and stuff like that. And I didn't realize the similarities between my mother and I as far as it goes with traumatic experience in our lives, such as like divorce and our value of self-worth
and just the underlining guilt that a lot of us had within our family. And that was never spoke about as far as that guilt by any means. But I think that we just basically figured out that we were guilty. And then we just said, no, let's not talk about that. Let's just push that underneath the rug. Yeah. But my father and I, we are extremely alike. We almost had the same handwriting. And my father wasn't around to be a father for a lot of my life. I mean, I really didn't get to know my dad until I was already divorced and living with him. And prior to that, it was just arguments. But yet, there's pictures of him and I standing side by side, and we look exactly the same. Same mannerisms, standing the same way, holding the drink the same way. It's really odd.
It's amazing what, I mean, the characteristics that can come through regardless of, you know, like you observing him or not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's many times I heard my mom, she'd get mad at me because she just looked at me and go, damn it, you stop acting like your dad. And dad had been nowhere around me for 5 years.
Well, still getting cigarettes.
No.
No, he stopped smoking earlier than my mom did. Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, my dad
left. Cigarettes, kid.
I mean, I might have been one when he left. You know, so,
guys, yeah. I don't want to derail this conversation because I think it's going in a good place. But I need to ask how many pairs of glasses this woman owns.
Oh, I bet you. I bet you it's at least a 20-gallon tub. And then I'm going to say, I bet you that her glasses
Look,
collection
I want to deal with the orange ones, okay?
cannot compete with Brandon's collection.
No, I wear these so I can see you. Like, these are the one. There's one, and then I keep the old pair in a box just in case I break these.
I have moved Bernie enough times to know that he could go to his closet right now. Well, probably not right now because he's lost weight because he's been working out because he wants to be a badass. But at one point in time, he could have changed a shirt each day and never repeat the same shirt for at least a year and a half.
That's too many.
I mean,
tubs of shirts. He has so many shirts, he could have clothed Haiti during the entire earthquake they had.
I just can't think that hard. I need like three. I didn't even mean to when I had a capsule wardrobe just because I don't like doing that much laundry.
I hate laundry.
So part of that was not being able to do laundry at points. And then you go to Walmart or wherever, you just get new shirts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have terrible.
You just need a clean shirt.
Yeah, I need new clothes. And then next thing you know, you've got 320 something shirts.
And boom. Or you just turn around, boom, 300 shirts.
Honestly, I have a lot of band t-shirts.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, band t-shirts really, really.
I have a lot of band t-shirts that I never wear. I just buy them because I want to support the band, and then I'm like, and then they don't fit me for whatever reason, but I'm like, you know, and they're just sitting in there in the closet, just hanging out.
Yeah,
I've thought about that. I've thought about making a quilt, but then I'm like, do I really like these bands? Do I really want to make a quilt?
I didn't make it out of t-shirts. I just made it out of fabric. I called it my quarantine quilt because I made it during quarantine.
Yeah. Her family motto is, I can make that.
True story.
That reminds me of that that episode of Portlandia. We can pickle that.
Just put a bird on it.
She's making earrings now.
There was a research paper that came out a while ago. I was listening to NPR, and a geneticist talking about Well, yeah. obviously, I take advantage of public radio.
That makes me liberal.
Geneticists and sociologists were arguing about the nature versus nurture thing, and the geneticists had proposed the theory that all of our decisions are based on genes. We're predisposed to make, based on our genetic makeup, certain decisions, whether it would be to, and they have data to back this up, and how that people would make the same decisions based on a certain criteria on situation versus need and want. And you, no matter how you changed up the parameters of the what it is the decisions they were going to make, they would typically make this one person would always choose A, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't up to them. There was no free choice because it was a genetic. Which I could see the argument. I don't know that I necessarily think that it's actually true, but it was compelling. Their data was, you know, not arguable.
I don't know if it's genetic or if it was like early environmental, but I can say that a lot of my decisions throughout my adult life have been motivated by acquiring security. So like that's the lens that I would filter all choices through. Like, does this help me to achieve that goal of security? Whatever security looks like, financial security, relationship security, any of those things. Like, I just want things to be settled and whole and trustworthy. And so, you know, I point towards that.
What about something like food?
Like food security?
Not food security, but just like choosing Pepsi or Coke.
Oh, well, that's just because I think that's a regional thing. So, but here's the interesting thing. So like, I grew up in Northwest Arkansas. The drink of choice there is Dr. Pepper, because if you are anywhere around like Texas or anywhere in there, everybody's going to have 14 2 liters of Dr. Pepper.
Absolutely. Because
everybody knows once Dr. Pepper gets below the label, it's flat and disgusting.
Yeah.
It's gold from here to here, here down, nasty. So Pepsi products are really big, but I actually prefer
in relation to security, if it all.
Okay, so like I would probably choose just not to drink a soda, because spending money on a luxury beverage would not lead me to security.
I've never seen her drink water.
That's baloney. I drink three things. Water, coffee.
I see how that's going.
My evening beverages.
That's a very long pointer finger you have. Weird placement on that hand too.
Oh, hey, hello.
The oldest friend I have. The oldest friend I have, his name is Shane. He lived a few houses down, and I met him when I was 3, almost 4 years old. But my parents had to take me down to the house because I was afraid to leave the house. So when I was a kid, I was afraid to go anywhere that wasn't home.
Right.
Keep in mind, you are currently living at home.
At home.
Yeah.
At that house.
Go. For once in your life, man, go outside.
So safe.
Well, but what I do for a
living, wear a mask,
is travel. So I've been all over the world for a kid who's afraid to go 4 houses down. And my friend Andrea in Asheville, she was one of the first people to really encourage me to just try things. Just do it. What's the worst that could happen?
Right.
And so, you know, from joining, Lee White has so many times, but at some point I decided, go for it. I hate flying, but it's an occupational requirement, so we're going to do it. And then, getting on a bus and traveling out, you know, but if it wasn't for getting over that, wanting to go somewhere, never would have moved to Nashville, never would have met this catch over here. You can probably only see her butt. Never would have met Lee White or any of you. But it's so funny that when I was 4 and 5 years old, I was Peter Pants afraid of doing anything different. Having friends all over the world, because when you tour, you get to see them at their best every time you see them. They're putting on a show, to show you a good time,
and we get
show you good
be
food.
Our best.
And when
as
you,
well,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. And then when you come home and you're stuck in a basement playing rock and roll music with the same five guys,
or if you're going through a depressive episode, or you like can't just fucking get up today, and you're like, damn, I don't want nobody to see this, you know.
Probably 2007 or ish. Brandon, the singer in By Morning, was having his life falling apart for him, and he was getting ready to leave the band, but he and Tim McGill in the basement of Lee White's house would fight. And these are the two best friends in the world. They'd seen the best and worst of each other. And Lee White and I and Witt, our drummer at the time, were just so entertained by these arguments that would literally almost lead to fist fights. You want to go outside? You want to go outside and fight? You want to go outside and fight? And you're looking and laughing at these.
I'm surprised they didn't take their shirts off. I'm surprised.
And the familiarity with it means you get to see the ugly stuff, but I wouldn't trade the relationship I have with any of those band guys for anything.
Yeah, I think I was just trying to say, like, I get the whole idea of wanting
anonymity.
Yeah, anonymity, like the being able to be seen without anybody knowing truly who you are, I think is probably a trauma response, you know, like a coping mechanism, but also a healing part of, like, if you have had some shit happen to you, it's a way to like express yourself without judgment, you know, when you don't know who they are, it doesn't matter. Because they don't, their opinion doesn't make any, like, it doesn't, their opinion is not, it's not that it's not valuable, it's just it's not close enough to matter. So it's a way for you to, like, express yourself in a healthy way and get, you know, if you don't have otherwise healthy coping mechanisms, it's a good way to get that shit out, and it's more comfortable that way. I think that in and of itself is kind of like what art or music or whatever it is that you're doing kind of like provides for people.
It's cathartic.
It's a way to like, yeah, it's very cathartic. So, but at the same time, I think that's good, but also I'm like, shit, I gotta work on myself.
When
I gotta develop better coping mechanisms for like the times when people do know me, because that's not always gonna be the case.
Sarah, do you have something, Sarah?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you got? I saw you raising your eyebrows.
Well, no, it's just that you're talking about anonymity and like you know, just so in college courses, just as an example, in college courses that I didn't care about, or if I felt uncomfortable, I would allow the teacher to continue using my first name, rather than correcting them and asking them to use my middle name, which is what I go by. So I was kind of anonymous in that class because I didn't want them to actually know.
Yeah, like, who's Doug?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, which is funny because I said, Sarah, do you have something?
Exactly.
That's funny that you went to that.
I would... Oh, and that was one of the... I waited and waited and waited. I was in a job that I didn't particularly care for whenever I was pregnant with my first child, and I waited until like they were thinking like, Allie, you're definitely pregnant, before I would tell them, because I didn't want them to have that part of me. That was my happy private thing. I didn't like them and I didn't want them to join in on it.
That's another thing. I think you touch on something like, exactly. That's another thing too. Like, you ruin it. Like, I don't want anybody to ruin how I feel right now. Because if you're constantly around people that like ruin your happiness, it's like, no, this is mine. This you don't get to have
thing.
It.
Yeah.
You can't. Also, as an aside, my boss at the time was a really loud talker. He shouted a lot, and he not like in an aggressive or angry way necessarily. He was fine. Like, but he was just really loud, and he talked a lot. And I was really worried that my baby would come out knowing his voice more than mine and my husband's, because like we're quiet, and we don't, you know, we're not big talkers. It's like he's only gonna know George.
Costanza? Yeah. That's what I thought too. Yeah.
Yeah. He was always talking about, you know,
Art Vandelay and
Blake. Yeah, Vandelay Industries.
He's an architect.
Yeah.
Import export, you know?
Importer exporter.
Importer exporter. I'm very impressionable when it comes to Larry David. I have to be careful when I watch Curb Your Enthusiasm because I end up acting like a dick.
So that is who you are. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Serious though. I have to be so careful. I'm such an impressionable person when it comes to watching things that if I relate to it too much, if I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, you probably don't want to be around me because I'm going to be a dick. Because I'm going to be like,
man, you watch it all the time then.
Woo!
Damn. Oh, shut up. Yeah, I don't. Shut up. What is it, 24/7 you watch? Alright, this part is brought by Bacardi Black Spiced Rum.
No.
If it's not Bacardi rum, Black Spiced Rum, it's probably another brand of rum.
I'm the same with Rick and Morty, too. I get all existential with them, and I'm like, fuck the world! You know, I have to be careful what I watch, is the point. I'm very impressionable.
You're a sponge.
I'm a sponge, for sure.
Why can't you develop your own opinion and own personality? What's up with that?
Jeez.
Because I'm an empath.
Oh, she just got real quiet.
That's why. I have my own opinion and personality. I lack boundaries. That's the point.
Have you guys done, I mean, like, I like to do those personality quiz things. So I was a gold. That's what color I am. You know, like the Myers-Briggs things, like I'm always like an INFJ or I don't know. I can't ever keep those letters straight, but there's always a J in there because apparently I'm judgy.
Oh yeah, me too. I'm an INFJ.
You guys are judgy? Get the hell out of here.
What?
Okay. So are you guys thinking that how you are developing as human beings, is it more of a nature or a nurture?
Nurture.
Right down the middle. Yeah.
It's because you're looking at your genetics. Is that right?
I think it's impossible to separate the two.
What if you're an orphan and you don't know your genetics?
Well, I think you would have no.
I know mine. I'm just asking.
You would have no basis to compare something to, but it's still your product of your or your parentage, even if you don't have their influence growing up. But the influence that you do.
Have you ever seen anything or read anything about those twin studies that they did? I think it was in the Northeast. It was sometime in the early, I'm going to say it went on. I mean, it went on for a long time. And what was unfortunate is that the kids didn't, they were like twins and triplets. They were multiples who were separated, did not know that they were multiples, but all each individual person was studied for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And
they ended up being like similar?
They did.
Even though they didn't know each other?
At all. So, you know, I think there's something
definitely
to it.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's like definitely a part of it. I think I just get curious about like how does that factor into if you don't know, you know?
I think that I would have to, you know, in instances where, you know, like us, like we're, you know, everybody knows mm-hmm. parents, we understand the nature portion of it. I do think that
right.
not that it's insurmountable, but I think that it plays, you know, there are co-equal roles taking part, whether in a negative or a positive way, whether influencing you to do something or influencing you to not do something.
Hey, yes, right. Hey, Tony, yes. come up to the mic here. You have some things you want to say.
I have something I want to say.
come up to the computer.
Hang on, I'm coming.
Say
because
it.
Because the minute that question was, or she was saying that, I was like, yeah, she's got something to say. Tony, did you have anything to say about the nature and nurture?
Yeah, because you're.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's well, yeah. I mean, I have an extended family that I don't know anything about.
Wait, did he just say you're adopted?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, it's okay.
I mean, her mom is her.
My mom was my mom, but my dad was not my dad.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
And he adopted me, and therefore I came into that family, which was. That's a podcast within itself.
all of our families are podcasts.
Oh yeah, but the thing that's interesting about it is when my mom passed a couple years ago, and I went through a very similar thing that you are currently going through or have already gone through with like dealing with the estate and lawyers and all of the things. It's a nightmare. But in that whole process, I found out that I have a brother, which. I know that I have multiple brothers, but I don't know that I have brothers, if that makes any sense.
You knew so, they existed, but you didn't know who they were?
Right, or how they, I mean, not how they exist, but like, but how they exist. Does that make
sense? In relation to you?
Right, exactly, yeah. Yes. So, it turns out that I have this brother who lives in Utah?
Sure.
We'll say it's Utah. I think it's Utah.
Are there other U states?
It could be. We don't.
It could be Utah. It could be Nevada. It could be Oregon. I'm not sure. It's one of those. But he lives there, and he is a musician, and he does things musically and artistically. And I do things musically related and artistically. And we communicate now through Facebook. Which I hate Facebook, but if that's how I communicate, then that's how I communicate.
Right.
But it turns out we both have like the really same like dark, sick, twisted sense of humor. And we both cope with, you know, pain with like humor and things like that. So it's really interesting that, you know, even though we have different mothers, we have the same father. It's weird how even like genetically, if you look at like you're looking at me now with no makeup and no retainer and no nothing, like if you put a picture of us side by side, it's even though we have different mothers, you're like, oh my God, those are like, that's like the same person. It's real weird. It's real weird. And then I know that I have another brother in California. He and I don't look much alike, but me and his daughter look exactly alike.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it is weird.
But me and my brother, so I have a brother through my mom, but we have different dads, and he and I look nothing alike. Like, me and the brother through my mom look nothing alike. We are nothing alike. We have zero in common, like, other than we came out of the same vagina. Like,
are you positive about that? Did you physically witness that?
Well, I mean, I did, but I don't remember it. Please. So it could all be a lie.
Hey.
I mean, it's like one of those.
This is about asking questions. This isn't anything else. It's about asking questions.
Do you remember when you came out of your mother's vagina?
No.
It's like,
it was very bright.
Hard no.
I did not cry for the first 2 seconds.
Hard no. Hard no. Figure it out.
Figured it out.
Do you remember when we were hanging out and you were like, hey, so I definitely checked with definitely checked with my dad to find out if he was hanging out in Northwest Arkansas in the late 80s. It's like, dude, I'm pretty sure that my dad is my dad, you know, like my parents were totes married. Like, I don't think my mom was fooling around with your dad in the late 80s, but thanks for checking.
Yeah, well, I'm still not sold completely.
You gotta produce your...
You guys are siblings, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that's either resemblance, I'm not gonna lie.
It looks like we need to have we need to have a swab test.
Where's your birth certificate? Well, let's see the proof.
Yeah. I know I came from my mother because she yelled many times about me. I was going to say she talked many times about it. No, she yelled many times about me. Now, do you think the things that you enjoy in life, is that part of your nature and nurture?
Oh, dude.
As far as your music, as far as where your music goes, as far
God
as your
damn
arts,
it, I love how you always are on fucking track. How do you do that?
For me,
I gotta say, I forgot what we were talking about, and he's like, by the way.
I exist.
Here's our
year
center.
We are throwing stuff.
Nurture. Or a nature one for me.
A nature?
Yeah. Like, you know.
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry. I was so enamored by how you were able to stay on track that I kind of like forgot what you were saying.
So are the things that you enjoy doing, such as your art, your music, your baking, your five-finger discounting, whatever you do and able to call it a hobby, is it nature or nurture?
I'm gonna say that most of the things that I enjoy, like at the root, it's probably nature. I think it's just in there. Like there are some things like why.
So you think it's just through the? Do you feel that it's just simply because it's something that was always instilled into your family? Like, does your grandparents, aunts, uncles, great grandparents, stuff like that? Is there a long line of just wanting to make sure that you could make whatever you needed?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. You know, that's well, okay. But this is what I'm, this is the specifics of like what I'm thinking about. You said like five finger discount and stuff like that. Like I have some, like, I think in my daily life, I'm probably, you know, a pretty classy lady, but like sometimes I just feel like I observe that there are crimes that could be done, you know, like I'm just sitting there and I'm like, man, it would be really easy for a crime to be done here. And like, I don't want to commit crimes, but I mean, you know, the opportunity presents itself. It's hard not to notice. And so it's like, is that just like a, some.
Can we become friends?
Well, you guys did live really close to each other at some point in time in life.
What crimes do you sort of stop at?
Episode 2 or 3. Which one's the murder one?
Was it the one where we were at your house? Talking about would you steal?
No, we were here. No, that was murdering people. No, but okay, this is a specific crime that I've been thinking about lately. There's a stone yard on my way home. And like nobody is ever there and the gate is never locked. And I would really like some nice big rocks for my garden. And so I'm just thinking like, ain't nobody gonna hassle me if I go over there and hop in that skid steer and throw a couple of big rocks in the back of my truck. Like, no. Who's gonna question
me? Except for the dead.
What? The dead? No, it's not a cemetery.
I found all rocks.
Oh, my bad.
Really weird English writing on them.
They're beautiful.
They're beautiful. One has roses on it. Another one looks like a cross.
It's got some chick's name on it.
Sorry.
Weird. I can't find one with my name. But
some says pop pop forever in our hearts.
I'm sorry.
That's my latest crime.
They weren't around the cemetery.
Just think about stealing rocks.
Oh, okay.
Stealing rocks from
not
my garden.
Cemetery rocks.
No.
Sorry. I think I just went to a place. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. The funny thing is that there's only two musicians in my family, my cousin Mish and myself. But there's always been music in the house growing up. Now, as far as like the parental upbringing, making sure that the things that we needed or were nurtured, you know, that came, you know, especially for my dad. He didn't have that growing up. His parents weren't all that kind to him.
Loving.
He's such a great man. He would support any artistic endeavor that I attempted. But again, part of that raising thing, he would deal with, if you're going to do something, you know, you got to stick with it.
Yeah.
It's got to be both for me.
So
I'm still on the both.
I think nature and nurture is one thing, but I have this like resounding undertow that is curiosity of mine. What about primitive existence?
Yeah.
Like not just nature versus nurture, but like primal.
Right.
Like
where it turns into survival.
Somewhat of nature is primitive, but also like the primitive existence that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with thought or emotion. It's just survival existence.
There's no awareness.
Right.
A lot of that's baked into the to the operating system that you don't
get. Right. Like when you're born, you just, that's what you do. Is survive, and you survive by any means necessary, you know, and there's no like cognitive or emotional understanding of what you do or why.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if I'm honest with myself, like most of my motivation and decision making is filtered through that security, which comes back to survival. Like, you know, like what is going to ensure that I and my progeny make it?
So is that what it's all reduced to? You know, yeah. Like, do we just reduce
but
ourselves
to... But I mean, it factors into your decision.
Primitive existence. Huh?
I mean, no.
What?
Obviously, we have other abilities, but, like, that factors into how we gauge our decisions. I'd say it plays
well, maybe, a role. I mean, maybe it's a good thing. Like, maybe it's a good thing that we factor into how we make our decisions because we realize that we have, like, a primitive existence, and then we also have an emotional existence, and we also have a cognitive, ethereal, or intellectual existence, and we have to think about all of those when we make our decisions, you know, and what we want with life, maybe. That's what I'm...
Well, our forebears have offered us the opportunity to have the ability to reflect.
Right.
Because of, you know, it started out with just survival.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have the luxury of not having to think about those things quite so much.
We've earned that for ourselves. It's a natural part of the human species. I mean, there's no act that we do that isn't part of our nature as a species. Just like ants create ant hills and little colonies, and bees do the things that they do, building roads and having philosophical conversations. That's hard to say without teeth. build guitars or computers and things like that. Or you know, it all. I read a lot that people consider this stuff all man-made and not natural, but it is totally natural. It is who we are, mm-hmm. as a species, and our survival and comfort and what we've built so far is a natural part of what we do. We've evolved to the point where we can manipulate the world around us to meet our comfort needs, as opposed to our bodies evolving to make us more survivable. You know, you're not gonna...
It's kind of like the idea that science and the indoctrination of miracles or mysticism don't have anything to do with each other. They both coexist with each other. It's just a matter of your perspective.
Constructs of of our imagination
right
born into existence. It's all built so that we don't have to worry about getting killed by a bear or a pack of wolves while taking a dump.
Hey, 1993 Tears for Fears Elemental album. That album shaped my entire future, because at that point I had like, I was just like so enamored by the sound, talking about primitive nature versus nurture or whatever. A lot of it made me research Tears for Fears, which was Roland Orzabal and Curtis Smith. It made me research them and their relationship and like how they knew each other, whatever. And that was like the basis of their whole musical journey, was their fucking psychological journey of healing from trauma and wounds from their childhood. And a lot of it had to do with primal scream therapy.
Did you say scream right. therapy?
Yeah, primal scream therapy. It's like Carl Jung, I think is his
Jung.
Name.
Jung.
Jung. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, it talks about like the things that you experience are like, it goes back to remembering things on a pre-birth level, which I don't know whether or not I necessarily subscribe to, but it just talks about like the fact that like who you are goes back to you in the womb sort of situation, discovering those things and letting them out. It's very interesting. And I've thought about it since then. And also the song Shout, Let It All Out always made me think of the fact that like he was just trying to like fucking get it out. And like I resonate with that, like fucking shout, and I scream and I let things out. And I think that has everything to do with where I've become. So like nurture in that way has formed me, where nature maybe not so much, because I learned about them and I continued on with that because I resonated with them, which may also be a part of my nature. Yeah, it's both.
Well, I was hoping it wasn't because of the Motley Crue album Primal Scream. I was hoping it was not.
No, I don't even know that album. I'm sorry.
It's a good thing you don't. So we'll just go with that.
These days it's all in the mind. It's elemental. No, because that was the song on Elemental. He goes, these days it's all in the mind. It's elemental. It's like you have control over what you, and I think that stuck with me. Like, ultimately, you control your universe, you know? You have control over it.
What do you think, Lee? Like, what was the first moment, like, when you knew you were gonna, like, music was it?
Well, it started when I was probably around 6, 7, 8 years old, of listening to Diana Ross, the Glenn Miller Orchestra, Ventures, Al Herbert, and stuff like that, of where I realized I wanted to do something musical. And so saxophone was very prominent with those music styles, and so that's why I started playing saxophone. And then when I started listening to punk bands like the Misfits and DRI, and is when I turned more into a bass player. And then I developed, going back to my mother's roots of listening to James Brown and stuff like that, but I started playing bass. So that's how I knew that I was going to become a musician. The bass just spoke to me and all of that. And I listen to death metal majority of the time, and I do not play death metal bass.
Yeah, my influence is versus how it translates to my playing, or you wouldn't. It's hard to tell in a lot of cases, but yeah, for me it was freshman year of high school. A buddy of mine made me listen to Led Zeppelin 4. It's got you can part of the beginning of the track has the tape machine winding up. It's got this wah, 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 wah. And then Robert Plant's voice. And then when the band comes in, the way it hit, it was like.
The fact that you had a guitar right there and able to play that lick.
So happened, it hit, and it was a paradigm shift, because everything that I knew before that moment was that I was either going to play football or basketball, and I was going to join the Marines. And then that moment, everything was, I was going to be a drummer. And then my parents said they weren't going to buy me a drum set.
You have no body rhythm.
I I do not. It took time to learn that, but it was. I couldn't. I couldn't
get your body rhythm so bad you couldn't be a porn star.
Not on camera.
Voiceovers.
Some voice out, yeah. I can do
Foley yeah, just work. An audio.
Yeah, I can do Foley work.
I'm a voice actor in a porn. What?
The irony of all of that is that all those records were at here in this house, in the other room, and that radio was always on. But I listened that moment. I remember everything about it. I remember what the room looked like, what all of it, and it was over. Every terrible decision in my life is because of Led Zeppelin. You know, wouldn't trade it for anything.
So Led Zeppelin was one of your main nurturers, is what I'm understanding.
I mean, as soon as it hit, it was like a drug. The pursuit of the feeling on stage. And I played more with Lee than anybody else on stage when everything is locked in, when everything plays, when everything is right, when everything sounds right, when, you know, there's nothing like it. There's nothing to replace it. And when you can't do it anymore, it hurts more than anything else. And every decision in my life that I've made since that moment has been to either be on stage or make a living in the music business. There's nothing like it. It can't be replaced by anything.
So what we have come to understand is that we feel that nurture seems to be more of a part than nature, other than some of us believe that genetics play far more of a part than their environment and how they run.
I think that it's definitely a culmination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think that I have an option, I suppose, as to where my future goes in that regard, and that I'm not confined by either of those things.
I'm who I am because of nature. I'm how I am in nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go ahead and answer for Possum. It's out as fat. All right, guys. So we're going to continue on with this lovely episode here shortly. So there you have it. Nurturing seems to be on the front of contributing to who we are. Personally, I feel that we are influenced by both. If it wasn't for nurturing of my family and friends, I might not have gone a creative route with music and art. But genetics took away my lovely blonde locks and gave me a nice dose of being bipolar. Oh, and messed up feet. Like extra bones in my feet type of messed up. And it's all genetic. It's pretty interesting. Anyway, well, for those of you that subscribe to this podcast, you might have noticed that there had not been a new episode in a couple months. And the reason is that my mother passed away on the 28th of February. Her passing, it took the air from my lungs, and I had no words. I'd sit down to do the podcast, and nothing would come out. My mother was my coach, my teammate, my cheering squad. She supported anything creative I got involved with. All she requested is that it was true to me. She raised me to be opinionated, question when needed, and observe the world with an open mind. The Happy Social Experiment is dedicated to her. She loved the idea. Even though she wasn't keen on the cussing and sometimes drinking and the dark humor and topics, but she knew it was true to me. She knew that it was a passion. And I loved her for it. Still do. I guess you don't stop loving your mom. That just wouldn't make any sense. Anyway, guys, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe and share with your family and friends. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at happysocialexperiment@gmail.com. All right. Later, taters.
See you in a little bit.
Thanks for joining and listening. Click the subscribe button and follow us on Twitter at HSEPC and Instagram at Happy Social Experiment. If you have comments, questions, or want to share a story, email us at happysocialexperiment@gmail.com. Later, taters.
Well, let me end.
Well,
let me end your bedtime story with these lovely lyrics from our children's safe band Slayer. Spirits damned to rot amidst the brimstone fireballs, eyes of the dead, watching from their living walls, broken glass reflections, show your flesh eaten away. Beyond the gates, I'll take you, where the blood forever reigns. Good night, sweet Allison.
Night, guys. Have fun.
Bye.
Happy stealing.
See you. Good night.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.